Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl. This is called Matter of the Heart. This is actually a Valentine's Day sort of message because I want to deal with the heart of ritual and tradition over apparent holy days. And Valentine's Day is customarily a day where it's a romancing of the heart. Was originally came from a man named Valentinius. There are several legends behind him. The one that I'm most favorable towards and is the application for this teaching on the heart of the matter is a man who was in the 4th century. And as the legend goes, this man was a keeper in the prison in Rome, and he had Christians under his charge. He began to see their witness and their testimony and was persuaded, Christians that were going to their death, and was persuaded that they were the real thing, that what they spoke of was real life in Jesus Christ. And he became a Christian and then began to also witness and testify. And he came before the Roman leaders and suffered martyrdom for his testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now, there are three types of love. Romantic love or eros, erotic love. There's a filial or brotherly love. And then we have agape, the highest form of love, the love of God. And this love that will persuade us that it's worth everything to lay our lives down. This is the kind of love, the witness and testimony of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that I want to discuss, loving God so much so that we do not even love our lives, even unto death. God loved us first because God is love and He's our Creator. He established a wedding contract, a love contract with us, a covenant with us, in the story of Moses in the wilderness. Now, when Moses, it says in Scripture, went up to Mount Sinai and he received the Ten Commandments, that was a ketubah. It was a wedding contract. It was a covenant that God made with the Jewish people when he brought them out of Egypt, when he brought them out of the world system, the demonic system of the Egypt, and the ways of the flesh. And this ketubah, this wedding covenant, was the Ten Commandments. And it was the sign, God said, that these were his people, that he was engaged to be married to them. And it was as though they were his wife to be, that he was in love with them. They were a special people. He was jealous possession over them. And this wedding contract, I'm going to read it because I think it's important that we remind ourselves that the Word of God has not passed away and that it is the same, consistent, same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that this Word, this Torah, is made flesh in Jesus, and He went and bought us. He reconfirmed the covenant, the eternal covenant before the foundations of the earth, when his side was pierced and he cleansed us from unrighteousness by the blood that washed over us. And then he writes his word in our hearts and we fulfill it. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 5:5. I stood between the Lord and you at that time. This is Moses speaking to the people. to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain, he said. This is what God said. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, these are the first four commandments. They have to do with what God expects of us in order to honor him and give him the reverential respect for who he is as God. And then he proceeds to give us the next six commandments, which has to do with how we treat those that are our neighbors and around us. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which your Lord God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now the Lord also said in Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the Lord continues later in Deuteronomy as he's instructing the people of Israel, his people, in verse 2, And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heaven belongs to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Now, this is referring to Abraham. This is a referral to Abraham had the first covenant with God because he came out of his father's house and his people's land, which was full of idolatry, to serve the one and only God. He heard the voice of the Lord and went where the Lord commanded him. He was obedient, and God commanded him to circumcise his children and himself as a sign of the covenant. So this is God chose Abraham. So these are the descendants of Father Abraham. And he's reiterating this covenant, although this is the next revelation or unfolding of the covenant. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your hearts. Don't do an external circumcision of your flesh. We're looking at an internal circumcision, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. So here it is. God has taken the people out of the house of bondage in Egypt through signs and wonders and a great deliverance. And every plague that came upon the Egyptians was a judgment on the idolatrous gods of Egypt. And even so, in these days, we are going to see the same kind of judgments come from the Lord's throne against the idolatrous nations and the gods that they have raised up and worshiped in their hearts. They shall receive the recompense and reward in this life and in the next, because God is, he says, a God of justice and mercy, and he has not changed. He has made a wedding covenant with us. We are Israel. We are grafted in, the Gentiles who receive by the blood of Jesus the covenant that he made, the higher covenant that comes in and changes our heart of stone to our heart of flesh. And then he writes his laws and commandments with the finger of the Holy Spirit on us. Okay, so we are his beloved. We are his treasure. We are the Lord's. Now, and I want to say that Jesus said this even when he was being questioned by one of the lawyers in Matthew 22:35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Well, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." See, nothing's changed. It's the same commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, of course, how is this expressed in the first four commandments? Then the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments and the next six commandments are how we love our neighbor. We don't transgress or violate him. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, so here Jesus is again confirming, and then he, by his redemptive work on the cross, enables us to forgive our sins where we have transgressed God's laws. And as we receive him and believe in him, we will walk in his ways and we will follow him. Now, but something happens. Something happens. We all, in the journey of our life, once we have received the Lord, okay, and have said yes to Jesus and believe him, we will be tested. Our affections will be tested. He is a jealous God, and he wants us to serve us willing. We don't want anybody to be our slave that we really love. If we really love someone, we want them to come to us. We woo them, and we come to them, and we don't force them to do our will. We entreat them. We're gentle with them. We are kind. We woo them. And so it is with the precious Holy Spirit. Now, some of us, we have no guarantees in this life, but we have guarantees of everlasting life. We have guarantee of life because God is the God of life and love. And there is a word called martyrs, which is martyrs. There are many, many martyrs who did not receive the fulfillment of their promises. Martyrs means witness, that we witness and testify to him, and we overcome by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and we do not love our lives unto death. And these are key in the overcoming walk and ruling and reigning in eternity with Jesus Christ. Now, this part of the message that I'm going to move in, there, let me just give a qualifier here. There are many, many people in different countries who listen to these messages. Over 50 different countries. I'm not sure exactly how many because they change. It's kind of like waves. I seem to get people in some countries here, and then it drops off, and it's other countries here. Anyway, at any given month or whatever, it's over 50. So, and, you know, interestingly enough, it's not that many Americans, but mainly this section of the message is for, and probably not for the most part of those who listen to this, so, but it's for the church in the West. It's for the church in the West, and for those who have need to be reminded who their first love is. Who is she? I have this against you, says the Lord. He says to the church in Ephesus in Revelation, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Have we done that? Yeah. And that you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. All these commendings from the Lord. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. This is very serious. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Do you understand? There is a, you can be doing everything. We have great works. We have a great church. We're doing all these things, blah, blah, blah. But we have, it's all about us and our ministry and our church and what we, and the love of God is not there. And the anointing is going to be removed. The lampstand, the presence of God. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Also hate. Now, the Nicolaitans, there's a lot of interpretations for that. A lot of it's just church structure. And it's an aberration. It's a cult off of Orthodox Christianity. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, this is very important because I believe the enemy is always trying to distract us from the reason that we were created. God created us for his pleasure, that he might have fellowship with us, even as he created Adam in the garden, that we might love him. And so the enemy is always trying to pull off and lie to us that God doesn't love us, or that this is how love expresses itself through works or religion or a whole host of other issues. And the most important thing is that we love God. Now, there's another condition of those that think that they love God. They think they know God. But and they think they're following God, and that God, they have an interpretation of God that's not according to the Word of God. They've constructed their own God, or their own altar of worship, or their own interpretation. And so now we're going to talk about these particular conditions. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, let's go to the first verse in Jeremiah. And here the prophet is addressing the people of Israel in the love relationship, as between a man and his wife, just as God is married to his people Israel. They say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's wife, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return to me, says the Lord. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see Where have you not lain with men? By the road you have sat for them like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You have had a heartless forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me? My father, you are the guide of my youth. Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. So anytime we transgress the covenant that God has made with us, we break covenant, we become the harlot. If we run after other gods in anything that is above loving God with all our heart, anything that has crept in there that has preeminence over the counsel, the written counsel of God, whether it be another man or a woman, whether it be a career, whether it be a house, an ambition, whatever it may be, a child, an accolade, a worldly endorsement, anything, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things Satan will tempt us with to distract us from God. And then he'll whisper and try to twist the word of God. Did not God say? Has God not said? You will be like God. And he misinterprets the counsel of God. We must consistently go back again and again and again and measure ourselves up with the word. Am I loving God? Holy Spirit, help me. Now, let's go on to verse 6 in Jeremiah 3. The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. Israel was worshiping on the mountains other gods, Baal, Asherah. And I said, after she, and in this country it's been Hinduism and Islam and Buddhism and all these other things that we have not had covenant with from the foundations of this nation to be one nation under God. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. God is gracious. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and gave her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry, whatever comes along. No guidance, no restraint, no keeping her eyes on her husband, but looking here and there. That she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. She worshipped them. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not returned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. So there's a turning that we can turn back to God. We can like start lusting for this or that, or thinking that this is what God has told us is his counsel. And haven't gone to the word and sought him and fasted and prayed or lined up or really sought him with your whole heart. But we've gotten a word from the prophets that tickle our ears and tell us what we want to hear so that we can have our new, SUV. And then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, return, people of God, return, nation that once had a covenant with me, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. And this is even Israel today in her state. Return to the Lord your God. Only acknowledge your iniquity. Recognize your sin. Own it. own responsibility for your behaviors and the inward intents of your perverted heart, which is always going wayward, and the thoughts of your mind, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says God the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Hear the Lord calling, entreating, pleading. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and will bring you to Zion. Okay, so here the Lord is saying he's not going to take the whole flock. He's going to separate out individuals, specifics. One here, one there, one that, you know, it's not the whole lot, the whole group. I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. And at that time, Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, shall be called the throne of the Lord. It's not that now. This has not happened. And all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Yerushalayim. And no more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts, always going astray, always lusting, always being wayward. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers. So here the prophet Jeremiah has gone and prophesied way into the future and beyond the time that this scripture was given. And the judgment, really, that was about to come upon the land of Israel and Judah, which it did happen. But the end part of the prophetic word, where there will no more be a turning away from the things of God, that there will be faithfulness, will be in the last days. No more will evil dictate the heart of men. Now in verse 19, but I said, this is the Lord, how could I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land and a beautiful heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from me. Here the Lord is addressing Israel and Judah. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. So, and this is what God is saying about those that are covenant nations established on a foundation that is to put the word of God, that they trusted in God. And this nation in the West, and there are others just besides this one that are predicated on a belief beside Israel and Judah, and that have dealt treacherously with God. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. See how merciful God is calling to them. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. And here this is, they are responding. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So here is, I'm just telling you that this is the only hope of our salvation. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in shame, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. So here, God, they're saying, oh, yeah, oh, that's right. Gosh, we've been rebuked. We hear we're being chastised. We're being disciplined. God is reaching out. He's trying to bring us back. And we've dealt treacherously with the Lord. So we keep turning back, the prayer movements. We keep saying, oh, we do identification repentance. Oh, we do this. Oh, we do that. But then what happens? We keep this pattern, this cycle going, and there's not true repentance. Because so quickly our hearts are deceived and led astray. Back to the same things we used to do because, you know, back to life as normal. Then the prophet says in Jeremiah 13:2, and if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? The answer is, for the greatness of your iniquity. Your skirts have been uncovered. Your heels made bare. That means you've been exposed, your shame and your nakedness. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopards his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. So here, a continual pattern of doing evil makes you evil. Therefore, I will scatter them like stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion of your measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore, I will uncover your skirts over your face that your shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries and your lustful neighings, the lewdness of your harlotry, your abominations on the fields and hills in the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! Will you still not be made clean? And here the Lord is saying, I've exposed you and uncovered you, and still you will not turn away. And then in Jeremiah 16:10, the prophet says, and it shall be when you show this people all these words and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you will say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods and have served them and worshiped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart so that no one listens to me. Now, it's not enough to follow after God's commandments and to continue in him. But he says, even though you walk after other gods, even if you were loyal and kept God's law, nevertheless, there are dictates of your own evil heart that are even beyond that. It's not the outward expression that you look good and like you're walking in salvation. What is going on in your heart? Are you loyal? Are you serving God? Are you worshiping with all your heart? Is your strength for him and for his commandments and his directive over your life rather than your own ambitions, lusts, or pride, or carnality, or what you want to make you look good, or what you thought the Lord, you wanted the Lord said to you? You put your ambition or your desire, you put the word, the name of the Lord on it, and it was the dictate of your own evil heart? Jeremiah 17, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altar. Here it says the sin is a diamond tip iron pen, and it's written on their hearts and on the horns of their altar. The word of the Lord isn't written there. The dictates of their evil heart are written there. Their sin is written in their hearts while their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees and on the high fields. He's talking the idolatrous worship. Oh, my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth and all your treasures and your high places of sin within all your borders. All those places that were exalted above the worship of God and all the wealth and treasure that you were sacrificing to these other idols, they're going to be given over. And you, even yourself, you're going to be given over. Shall let go of your heritage, which I gave you, your children. And I will cause you to serve your enemies. You're going to be their slaves in the land which you did not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Beloved, if God has established a land or a nation and put a covenant with him, and we, the people, have gone astray and broken it, he will bring these judgments upon them, and surely they are here. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Here it's talking about someone says, well, I've gained wealth for myself, or I've done this, or I listen to the counsel of others. I'm not seeking the Lord in my heart to find out what God says and what he does. This person, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes. He'll be stunted. This will be a little, you know, underbrush, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Salt land can't grow anything. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. So here, drought is a sign of God's judgment. But those that are trusting in the Lord will have a green leaf in time of drought. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing. So here God is saying, the heart is deceitful and wicked, and no one can know. But I, the Lord, I'm searching hearts, I'm testing them, and I'm trying them. I'm assaying them, I bring them through crucibles, and I'm going to give men according to their ways. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. So here it is. I hatched a plan. I hatched an egg. But these were not righteous. These riches, it will leave him in the midst of his days. What kind of riches are you hatching? What are you brooding over? Materialism? Or is your life hidden in Christ? Do you have eternal riches? Have you sown into eternity? If you've sown into eternity, you have nothing to fear in the shakings when all the wealth has collapsed. I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. The silver and gold is mine, says the Lord, and the desire of all nations shall come. And the purpose is so that they will seek the desire of all nations. He's shaking the eternal rich. He's shaking the worldly riches so he can bring the eternal riches, the desire of all nations. That's the rich. That's the pearl of great price. That's the one that doesn't pass away. If you will watch out for the widow and take care of the orphan and the strangers in their land, it says in Deuteronomy, these are the riches that your life is hidden in Christ. It's not in the abundance of things that you have. If it is, they're going to be taken away. And especially if they have not been gotten by righteousness. Especially if there's been extortion or swindling or deception or usury or unlawful gain. Whoop, they're going to be gone. And it will leave you in the midst of his days. At his end, he will be a fool because you did not sow. When you had prosperity, you did not sow into the things of God and the kingdom. You were not obedient. You sold into self-indulgence. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Wow, this is where we sow, the high throne of God, the sanctuary of the Lord. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord. That's where their heritage is. They have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living water. So here it is. God is a fountain of life, and we will be green even in the time of drought. We will not be written in the earth. We will not wither and fade and die, but we will be with life everlasting. And this is our first love. God's going to test our hearts in these days to see our hearts are being tested now. And all along, have we been sowing? Everything, has it been sifted? And the truth is, are we going to give him the reverential awe, no matter how he leads us? We trust in him with all our hearts, and he will take us through. Our first love is not about the body of Christ or the sanctuary or the place where we go worship. It is about the mystical body, the sanctuary of our heart, the temple of God that we are. And who are these people? If God calls us out, are we willing in this day to really seek the Lord and allow him to search us and try us and lay down every pretense and deceitful, evil, wicked, that we don't even think are evil or wicked, but we haven't brought it before the Lord about how we have conducted what we call the fellowship or churches? What are these things? Have we brought this before the Lord and sought him, truly asked him? Does this line up with your word? Will you take me? Will you convict me, Lord, if I'm out of order? If I've come into a hierarchical, institutionalized, state-run government, you know, state-run Roman religion? Or am I truly serving you, Lord? Who am I serving? Am I serving my interests? That I might have, if it costs me everything that's under the umbrella of that, will I let it go? Or am I still tied to that? Or am I I've been with these people forever. We all got saved, but there's a way that seemed, you know, like Paul said, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end there of his death, Paul said, you need to pray for me. Having first started out in the spirit, pray for me that I don't end up in the flesh. That these things will try to come and deceive me. My heart will try to deceive me and say, well, this is what I've been taught. Is that teaching really from the Lord? Does it line up with the weighted and balanced counsel of Scripture? And what is God doing in your life? Are your relationships with others more important than your relationship with God? Your first love is everything. Your relationships with other people, they didn't die for you. They loved you so much. Greater love has no man than this. Then he laid down his life for you. Jesus died for you. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. Your labor, your hard working, your labor, your patience. Yes, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, are you a tin man? Are you painted silver on the outside and look like you're walking in redemption, but inside you don't have your heart yet? Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Your heart is not on your first love. You're not as solely committed to Christ. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But you have this, you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That tree of life that Jesus died and bled for you, the love of God. And you will have the waters of everlasting life. Let's come before the Lord now, the Father, and ask the Holy Spirit to come and show us if there's any place in our hearts where the Lord is not fully operational, where we don't haven't completely given over to him, that we really do want to love the Lord. And if there's any deceitful or wicked place that's hiding, that God would reveal it to us so that we could repent and turn away. And if in our walk with the Lord, Father, if there is any place where having started out in the spirit, we are now walking in the flesh, Lord, bring us into that place where we can acknowledge our sin, where we can recognize it, and own responsibility for it and turn away from it and turn back to you and walk in your ways and follow your commandments and your judgments, O Lord. If there's any evil and deceitful hidden places that we don't know and the ones that we do know, Lord, that right now, Father, we would confess them and say we don't want them in our lives. We want no idols. Any place of idolatry or where we have depended upon the arm of flesh instead of seeking after you. Oh, Lord, please forgive us. Lord, please help us. Turn back to you, oh, Lord, and completely surrender and fully fill our hearts with your love for you, oh, Lord, that we keep your commandments, that we honor your and revere your holy name, and that we keep all that you have commanded us, all your ways in our life, that you might be lifted up and exalted and in our lives as a glorious testimony and a witness to who you are to all around us. We thank you for this gracious work of the Holy Spirit in us, O Lord. And we praise you for it because you do love us so much, and you are praying for us, Lord, and you recognize what frail creatures are and how easily led astray we are. We thank you, Father. Give us understanding and teach us your knowledge of your ways and keep us in your paths of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and prompting. Listen to the gentle whisper of conviction and turn quickly. Be sensitive. Don't be uncircumcised in heart, but be sensitive and tender towards the things of God, and he will carry you through. God bless you and love you. In Yeshua's name, goodbye.